So welcome. I'm glad to see so many of you tonight. The topic for tonight is beauty. And I'm hoping to encourage you to notice the beauty that's all around you and within yourself and within others, and also to challenge you to begin to look for and see the beauty in places, in things that you never saw beauty before. In fact, you may have seen ugliness or at least unattractiveness. So I'll start with a reading. Form is the language of the universe singing its praises. Its rejoicing is seen everywhere, in the sun, through a web of hair, in the flower and its petals, in the subtle folds of a garment, in the human body. I watch the fog swim over the fir trees in the morning. The fog brings a lushness to the forests. It dripped from the moss clinging to the trees. It fell from the sky like a soft rain. When the sun burned through the fog, its rays sparkled through the spider webs that hung on the bushes and fences. I watched the deer forage for food in the backyard. I spent hours walking along the beach, enthralled by the gray winter ocean. A few inquisitive seals swam along the shoreline, keeping pace with my movements. Flocks of gulls preened on the beach, undisturbed by the solitary woman walking quietly by. There is beauty all around us. Can you find the time this week to notice the universe singing its praises? I was first introduced to the idea of the importance of beauty in spiritual practice by a Russian teacher that I studied with several years ago, who taught Raj Yoga. And one night she and her partner talked about the importance of beauty, and it really caught my attention. I was quite surprised by it. I knew that I enjoyed beauty. I loved beautiful things like the ballet and the symphony and lovely flowers and lovely possessions. But I considered it a little bit indulgent to acquire, to do those things. And it was such a relief and such joy for me to hear that it was actually important. It was actually very valuable to bring beauty into our lives. It's something, it's an idea that I have worked with or used with the women that I work with at Elmwood. My assumption being that probably most of these women have not had much beauty, or at least not seen much beauty in their lives. So a couple of times I've talked about beauty and then given them an assignment over the week. One week it was just to notice the beauty around them. And that was challenging. Here they are at Elmwood, right? A county jail. Not necessarily a place to find too much beauty. But I was very rewarded when a couple of women mentioned things that they had noticed as beautiful. One woman noticed on her walk from the dorm to the laundry. She was involved in doing laundry. And it was an early morning, 7 a.m. She would walk from the dorm to where she did the laundry. And she just noticed the beauty of the morning. And there's a sunflower. There's one sunflower in a certain spot that that gets sun. And so it was growing and flowering. And she had come to really enjoy and appreciate just that few-minute walk, just enjoying the fresh morning air, the quiet, and there are a few flowers in the courtyard, so there is some beauty. Another woman talked about seeing a pigeon carrying a straw, obviously making a nest. And she talked about it in a way like she had never really seen before, never really paid that much attention. So it was both mindfulness and looking for the beauty. Also, where Elmwood is situated, the Fremont Hills are right behind it. And one woman talked about noticing the golden hills. And there was one woman who had said, I came out here every day to look beyond the fence, to see the hills beyond the fence. And that was very meaningful to her. I think it gave her some sense of connection with the world beyond this confined jail. So places that you might not think that you would find any beauty, and yet these women found some. Then the next time, I encouraged them to look for the beauty within and the beauty within the other women. In a way, that was more challenging, and in another way, I think they enjoyed it more. They were more excited and more talkative about it. And it was obviously easier to see the beauty in somebody else. So they came back and would talk about, you know, what so-and-so did and how generous so-and-so was, or, you know, things like that. Easier to see it in somebody else than to see it in themselves. But since I'm doing this talk tonight and I go there on Fridays, my intent is to bring it up again tomorrow and encourage them again to look for and to see the beauty that's all around and the beauty within. So beauty is one of those qualities. There are many qualities in Buddhist practice that we both cultivate, and then they arise spontaneously. And I see beauty as one of those. So we can begin to cultivate. By that I mean begin to notice, begin to be aware of the beauty that is all around us. Begin to bring beauty into our lives. And we can do that in, you know, many, many different ways. For me, it is going to the ballet. It's one of the most beautiful things for me. Going to the symphony. I really enjoy the sounds, the music of a beautiful symphony. Bringing flowers in my house. That's something that over the last few years is a real ritual. Every week I get flowers at the farmer's market. And whether my house is clean or dirty, or the flowers are a focal point, and that brings beauty. As we cultivate beauty, that is, as we notice it and as we bring it into our lives, I think then that begins to lead to noticing beauty in many, many places. Maybe places that had never occurred to us before. And with that can come a greater acceptance of things as they are. And then we begin to see the beauty in things as they are, in life, just as it is. We see the essence of things. And we recognize the beauty that actually is inherent in all things. And as we do that, then a sense of beauty more and more arises. So we've begun by putting our attention on beauty, cultivating, so to speak, which leads to an acceptance and an understanding of the beautiful nature of things as they are, which then leads to the arising of beauty within us. Of course, in many ways, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. The idea of beauty, of course, changes from time to time. In one century, large, very rounded, voluptuous women are beautiful, and painters love to paint these kinds of women. In the 20th century, very thin, straight, small-breasted women were beautiful, and that was the standard. Sometimes, for a while, in the 50s, I guess, green gardens with bushes and trees, but not so many flowers, was very popular and considered beautiful. Now, beauty is lots of colorful flowers, a variety of flowers. So we begin to see that beauty changes and that beauty is not a fixed idea. It is an idea, a concept, for sure, and that changes over time. Also, we all have different ideas of beauty. Two people can look at the same pond with algae growing throughout it, and one person says, yuck, and another person says, wow, look at that. Isn't that incredible? Look at the different colors of green. Look at how the pond is covered. I wonder what's underneath. And it's beautiful to that person. There's a place on the way down to Monterey that I have become very fond of, where there is dead wood in a pond. I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but it caught my eye. And now I find I look for it. It's a different kind of beauty. It's not a typical, maybe, kind of beauty. But I find it incredibly beautiful and watch for it now as I drive down. Also, in that same area, Elkhorn Slough, there are beautiful white egrets. There's always different birds to see, and the water changes with the tide. It's a place that many years ago I might have looked at and thought, you know, was just kind of bleh. And now I find great beauty in it. Of course, people, seeing people, is another way that we see beauty and we see beauty change. Probably you've all had the experience, as I have, of seeing someone for the first time, perhaps, and thinking that that person was not particularly attractive, maybe very unattractive, actually, physically. And then you get to know the person, and the physical features don't change, but your perception totally changes. And now you think, wow, how come I didn't see that before? Because now you're seeing the essence. You're seeing the inner beauty. You're seeing the spark that's alive in each of us. And suddenly the physical features, although they don't physically change, in your mind they change. Your perception of them changes. So why do we want to bring beauty in? Why do we want to cultivate beauty? I can think of several reasons. One, it brings happiness. It brings joy to our lives. Just seeing beauty. I think, you know, everybody can attest to that. Why are we all so crazy about a beautiful sunset or the full moon? Or a beautiful panorama, the incredible coastline of California. There's something magical about beauty. There's something that stirs us. There's something that calls us. We recognize, this is beautiful. It brings a calm. It brings a peace. It inclines the mind, I think, towards peace and harmony and love, perhaps. So another reading. The quality of our laughter and joy, the knowledge of our voices, thoughts, and actions are weaving beauty around the land. Wherever our lives take us, harmony is there inside us, waiting for our discovery. Expression of this inner harmony creates balance and beauty in the world. Our knowledge, our thoughts, and our actions count. We can make a difference. Awakening and bringing forth this natural harmony in the world is a responsibility that each of us shares. This is not a burden. Creation and transformation are delightful tasks in which we may all take part. So, again, perhaps another form of beauty, harmony and balance, and the idea that it resides within us, that what we can do is call it forth, bring it forth. It is already there. And that is a task for us. That is something that we all share, that we can bring forth that beauty, that harmony, and share it with the world. Seeing beauty, beginning to look for it everywhere, I find helps me to get away from the judging and comparing mind. This mind has been very inclined towards judging and comparing. And I find when I do that, I totally miss the beauty. You know, there's an idea, there's a concept, a standard or something against which I measure things and decide up here, you know, they're beautiful or they're not. When I let go of that, when I look for the beauty, I find it everywhere. You know, I've been to many, as a spiritual practitioner and a therapist, I've been to many, many workshops and conferences and things. And I've heard people over the years sitting in front somehow and looking out over a group of people and expressing, wow, the beauty that I see in all these people. And for years, I didn't get it. I would look around and think, well, okay, that one's kind of pretty and that one's handsome, but what is that person talking about? And that's because I was judging, I was comparing, I had this standard. And when I let go of that, I can look at a group of people anywhere and recognize what people have been talking about. The diversity. The diversity is incredible. It's incredibly beautiful. And when I look for what each person has to share, has to offer, you know, whether it's a spoken word or a smile, a look, an action, some kind of movement, some kind of visual art or something, we all have something to share. And when we share that, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, whatever it is. And how much lighter my heart is, how much happier I am when I can look at a group of people and see them all from that perspective. Either people that I know and I know what they have to bring, or people I don't know and I can wonder, you know, what's within that person? What beauty does that person offer to the world? What uniqueness does that person bring to this or any situation? So it's a form, it's a way of looking deeply. Thich Nhat Hanh, a very revered Vietnamese monk, talks about seeing and looking deeply, seeing things as they are, looking deeply at things as they are. This is what I'm talking about. When we look deeply, when we see deeply, then we see into the essence of things and people. And the essence, of course, is beautiful. Another place comes to mind. I love Yosemite, and I used to go there quite regularly. And of course, I love the green, you know, the lushness and the flora. Well, then, several years ago, there was a big forest fire. So the next time I went, acres and acres of what used to be lush green forest was now burned. And my first reaction was, you know, oh no, this is terrible, how ugly. But as I drove through it and I let myself really see it, I realized it was not ugly at all. It had a unique beauty. It had a very different kind of beauty. But it was beautiful. The trees, you know, and all their very exotic, odd shapes, things that were half trees or bushes that were half burned. It was in some ways like a moonscape, you know. But it was beautiful in its own way. Another example. I went to high school in New Mexico. And New Mexico has its own unique beauty, which I had to live there a while to appreciate. At first, I didn't see it. It wasn't like California. But I did come to appreciate it. And one of the things that I came to appreciate was tumbleweeds. We don't have tumbleweeds so much around here, although I saw a couple at Elmwood a few weeks ago. But in New Mexico, we have lots and lots of tumbleweeds. And at first glance, you know, it's a dead bush that's rolling along in the wind. At a closer glance, you know, that's kind of interesting. That's kind of unique and kind of pretty. But beyond that, in high school, we took tumbleweeds and sprayed them. We sprayed them gold, we sprayed them silver. And at that time, and especially where I was living, the nearest big town, Albuquerque, was 70 miles away. So for our junior and senior prom, we didn't go to a hotel. We decorated the gym. And we decorated the gym with tumbleweeds sprayed. And when we walked in that gym that night, it was beautiful. So when I see tumbleweeds, of course, I think of high school proms, and tumbleweeds are beautiful to me. Zen has a tradition of beauty, I think. And in Zen, it's a simple beauty. It's a very elegant, but a very simple beauty. Things are not fancy. Things can be quite plain, but they're always very beautifully arranged. The tea ceremony is very beautiful. Flower arrangements are very beautiful. The poetry, haiku poetry, calligraphy. There's much beauty in Zen. And I practiced Zen for the first 4 years. And I'm sure that's one reason I was drawn to it. I really loved the simple beauty. Spirit Rock, if any of you have been to Spirit Rock Meditation Center in Marin, the new, not so new anymore, but still new meditation hall, I think is incredibly beautiful in its simplicity. It doesn't have a lot, it's not fancy, but it's incredibly beautiful, partly because there are so many windows that it allows the outside in. It allows the natural setting to be a part of it. So things don't have to be fancy to be beautiful. We can see the beauty in great simplicity. We can see the beauty in almost anything. when we see it with a non-judgmental eye, when we see it through the eye of equanimity, the eye that accepts things as they are, just as they are, this is the eye through which we see beauty in everything. Beauty and grace are performed, whether or not we will or sense them. The least we can try to do is be there. Annie Dillard, in her daily walks to Tinker Creek, showed us how to truly see. She took the time to look, whether it was at a spider, a bird, a flower, or a tadpole. She stopped and she looked. Beauty is happening all around us. Can you take a moment this very day to stop, breathe deeply, and look? Even if you live in the city, look at a tree or some flowers in a window box that you pass every day on your way to work. Take a minute to observe them. Do it every day for a week. Notice what feelings or thoughts arise as you practice deep looking. Is there a time when no thought arises? Can you see simply the color and the shape? When the mental conception quickly arises, can you notice it and come back to the color and the shape? I think that's a beautiful description of deep looking, deep seeing. Wayne Dyer, who maybe many of you have seen on PBS, says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So I've talked about a process of cultivating or bringing beauty into our lives by seeing, by noticing, by looking to find the beauty that is everywhere. And then that leads to an acceptance of things just as they are, things and life just as it is, just as they are. And then that leads us to a natural arising of a sense of beauty within us. One last reading from the prophet. Where shall you seek beauty, and how shall you find her, unless she herself be your way and your guide? And how shall you speak of her, except she be the weaver of your speech? The aggrieved and the injured say, beauty is kind and gentle, like a young mother, half shy of her own glory, she walks among us. And the passionate say, nay, beauty is a thing of might and dread. Like the tempest, she shakes the earth beneath us and the sky above us. The tired and the weary say, beauty is soft whisperings. She speaks in our spirit. Her voice yields to our silences like a faint light that quivers in fear of the shadow. But the restless say, we have heard her shouting among the mountains. And with her cries came the sound of hooves and the beating of wings and the roaring of lions. At night, the watchmen of the city say, beauty shall rise with the dawn from the east. And at noontime, the toilers and the wayfarers say, we have seen her leaning over the earth from the windows of the sunset. In winter, say the snowbound, she shall come with the spring leaping upon the hills. And in the summer heat, the reapers say, we have seen her dancing with the autumn leaves, and we saw a drift of snow in her hair. all these things have you said of beauty. Yet in truth, you spoke not of her, but of needs unsatisfied. And beauty is not a need, but an ecstasy. It is not a mouth thirsting, nor an empty hand stretched forth, but rather a heart inflamed and a soul enchanted. It is not the image you would see, nor the song you would hear, but rather an image you see through, though you close your eyes, and a song you hear, though you shut your ears. It is not the sap within the furrowed bark, nor a wing attached to a claw, but rather a garden forever in bloom, and a flock of angels forever in flight. People of Orphalese, beauty is life when life unveils her holy face. But you are life, and you are the veil. Beauty is eternity gazing at itself in a mirror. But you are eternity, and you are the mirror. I think there's so much in that. Every time I read it, you know, I get a little more from it. So, we have about 10 more minutes. Are there comments that you'd like to make? Questions? Yes?
I have a comment, actually. Uh-huh. I'm just thinking, I always think of the part of my dad as a perceiver, because you were talking about perception and the quality, and that beauty is a quality. And so I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, that when we're, because I'm someone that really appreciates definitely beauty and creativity around me, that when we're sort of creating that beauty or looking for it around us, we're really, in a way, well, for me, searching for our own reflection in that beauty around us. And I think that that is the beautiful thing about beauty and creating beauty or finding beauty in life, that we're really, we're looking at our own reflection or ourselves reflected in that.
Yes, and I think that's just what Gibran was saying in the Prophet, right? Right. Yeah?
One of the other things I heard, appreciating beauty requires not grasping too hard at it and appreciating its impermanence. The hummingbird in my garden is very pretty. It wouldn't be as nice taxidermied in my living room.
Right.
So allowing things to be impermanent is part of the appreciation.
Yes, that's right. That's especially true of flowers. I think there's a saying, I don't know exactly where it is, but there's not one spring I haven't enjoyed the flowers. Something knowing, you know, that they will pass. That sense of impermanence, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a son who's a Marine. Over in Iraq. Mm. And I also find really open to my heart. I was thinking about it today. I was looking at the paper after the bombing, and this Iraqi man comforting another Iraqi man who had lost, I think, a cousin or someone. It was the most moving picture. I mean, I actually opened it and kept it open on my desk. Mm-hmm. And I think even in brokenness, because we're talking so much about, you know, beauty and flowers and things that are obviously beautiful and sometimes not so obvious. But there is also that I've been very, very touched since my son has been over there, that has opened, cracked my heart wide open. And I realized that I left that photograph open on my desk and looked at it, and just the embrace of, you know, of one man embracing another and comforting him in the suffering. And there's beauty in that.
Yes, there is. There's
definitely beauty.
Great
in
beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's amazing. I like what you said earlier about seeing beauty from the heart, that it's the heart that perceives. And when we look through the heart or from the heart, We do see beauty in places that we might never have imagined it. And often in places that are usually thought of as the opposite. It's very unbeautiful. Suffering, death even. Cemeteries can be a place to practice deep seeing and seeing the beauty. There can be great beauty there. And yet it's a place many people don't want to go to and often would think of as the last place they go for beauty. Anybody else? Okay, I'll just reiterate then a little bit of what I said, and then we can spend the last few minutes sitting. So, I challenge you with the question, what is beauty? Why is it important in our lives, and how do we bring it into our lives? How do you bring it into your life? And what does it do? How does it change things? I said for me it brings a joy, it brings a happiness. It lightens my heart when there's beauty around me. And my idea of beauty has changed. It has changed to include, maybe not everything yet, but almost many, many, many things. Even garbage, as Thich Nhat Hanh talks about. He talks about, you know, seeing the garbage which leads to the flowers. The garbage becomes compost, which becomes rich soil, which leads to the flowers. So when you look at garbage, you can see the flowers. And when you look at the flowers, you can see the garbage. Because the flowers will die, will become compost or garbage. That's seeing deeply, looking deeply. So we can look for ways to add beauty to our life. We can look for ways to see beauty that is all around us. And perhaps most importantly, looking for the beauty within us, because there is inherent in each of us incredible beauty in so many different ways. And perhaps the most important challenge I can leave with you is to find that beauty within yourself and then express it. Let it show forth. Let it be your gift to the world, because the world needs it. The world needs the beauty from each of us. And we deny ourselves and the world that beauty if we don't discover it, if we keep it hidden. And for many of us, it is quite hidden. We've had so much conditioning, you know, so many events in our lives that the beauty, for some of us, may be quite deep. It may not be very near the surface, but we can look for it. We can become aware of it. We can peel away the layers that cover it and allow the natural beauty, the spontaneous beauty that's within each of us, to shine forth. And then we can look for the beauty in others. We'll recognize it. When we begin to recognize the beauty in ourselves, we'll begin to recognize it in other people. We'll see the natural beauty, the natural gifts that shine forth when we look deeply, when we look beyond the surface, when we know someone beyond the physical facade that we all carry around. So, make it a practice this week to look for beauty the beauty all around, the beauty within, and share it. Share it with everyone you meet. So we have a few more minutes. Let's sit again, and I'll ring the bell at 9 o'clock. So as we sit here together in this beautiful room, may we acknowledge and enjoy the beauty of the silence. The beauty of the community of all of us together. The beauty of our shared practice. The beauty that each one of us brings to this community. The beauty that we see in each other. The beauty that is all around, within and without. So may our appreciation of the beauty in all things be for the benefit of all beings everywhere. May all beings walk in beauty. Thank you all.